So let's go to our gospel lesson, a reading from the New Testament from the Gospel according to Matthew. It's Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 to 20. It's page 19 in your pew Bible. If your brother or sister sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If you are listened to, you have regained that one. But if you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If that person refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly, I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. Here ends the reading of the gospel. So, it may not seem like our two passages have much to do with each other today. One's kind of about reconciliation, and the other's about the Passover. How do you kind of combine these two? And honestly, I do think that they are talking about the same thing in a way. They're just coming at it from different directions. I think they're both about building communities and trying to make sure that you're building a community that's going to last. I think the reconciliation message is pretty much sort of, you know, first off, are you supposed to go and whine to the authority about how that person's acting? No, it's go talk to them in private. Don't call it out in public. Don't try and shame them into doing the right thing. Go talk to them in private and try and say how you were hurt by whatever they did. Try and settle it amongst yourselves privately. If that doesn't work, now you can bring some people into it. But pretty much you should be using your peers to kind of be additional witnesses to what's going on. And you should just kind of have your argument in that relative privacy. And you're not supposed to sit here and shame people. And the goal is not to be found right. The goal is to restore the relationship between the two of you. It's to reconcile so that you can move forward. Sadly, easier said than done. If churches did this, I don't think we'd have nearly the problems we do, but we don't do it very well. But I just wanted to at least touch on that, even though I think I'm going to focus a little more today on the passage from Exodus. This can be a tough passage for some of us because it's kind of the capstone of the plagues on Egypt. And it can be a painful one for some of us because if you go back and look at the historical record, there isn't much evidence of an exodus from Egypt. And Egyptians loved keeping records. So this kind of gives us a, well, what's going on here issue. Well, let me ask you some other questions. What stories do you remember from the revolution of the United States from Great Britain? Anybody have any stories they remember from there? From about that time of US history? Come on, surely somebody wants to. Okay, well, come on. Surely we've all heard of like the Tea Party, Paul Revere's ride, right? Patrick Henry. See, we have these stories about the founding of our country. We all know some of these stories, and surely you've also heard the one about George Washington chopping down the cherry tree. Even though we all know it's false, it still tells us something about George Washington and what we felt like as a country, doesn't it? We also know that there were many other writers, not just Paul Revere. We just kind of picked him out because he got written up in a famous poem. So he had a good publicist, so he kind of came to be a stand-in for all the other patriots that went and warned that the British were coming. Well, okay, so we now know that there were actually lots of them, but did it matter that we kind of called out Paul Revere and used him as an example of a local citizen who took the time to warn that the British were coming? See, it's not necessarily about the facts of the story. It's meant to tell us something more, something that helps us identify who we are as a country and helps us connect to who we are and help explain who and what we are. So the stories we tell ourselves can be very important to our identity. It can help shape us into a community. So that is the story I want to say here today and kind of hit this moment where what we're after is building community. But we need to think about what community are we building? What are we doing and why are we building it? So that is what we're getting in the Exodus story, is this is the birth of the Israeli nation. It's the birth of the Hebrew people as a people, and this is their origin story, sort of like our revolution, stories of the revolution are our origin story of this country. Do they always get everything right factually? Maybe, maybe not. But it still told them something about who they are. One of the things it tells me is that, you know what? These Hebrew people felt like they were oppressed at one point, and that what was really important was the liberation from that. So although some people focus on the deaths, I actually think that was kind of a side note that they threw in to make themselves feel better, like justice really happened. And I think also the plagues may have been this is some of what's wrong and painful when we were in Egypt, and you're trying to forget the bad times. Because a lot of these plagues naturally happened in Egypt over time. Whether it was the frogs, the flies, you know, all of those things were plagues that commonly struck Egypt. So this may have actually been an attempt to say, remember all the problems with Egypt. And I do think there are evidence, perhaps, that there were people from the kind of the Canaanite area of land that came and settled in Egypt for a while and then left. So I think that there are pieces of this story that are, in fact, truthful, even if maybe some of the facts are a little different than the story we hear. So we got to remember that this is a way of trying to remind ourselves who we are as a people for the Israelis. And I think we need to do the same with our stories and think about what stories are we telling ourselves. You know, as Christians, we often tell the story of Christmas. We tell the story of Easter. We sometimes tell the story of things like, you know, David and Goliath or this or that. What are we trying to tell ourselves with these stories? And sometimes it might be a question of who are we leaving out in our stories? One of the people that I feel like got left out of our stories of the birth of this country, and I'm kind of looking at it now as an adult and going, wow, they really didn't tell us that as a kid, is they didn't tell us how much the Revolutionary War was about, we want to keep expanding westward. But that violated the treaties that Great Britain had made with the Native Americans. But we don't hear that story as much told because that's not necessarily something that this country is overly proud of. So we tend to just kind of hide it and not talk about it that much. So we do have to be careful how we tell our stories, because I think God cares how all people are treated. And I think this is a chance for us to say, what is our story? How do we build this community we live in now today to be better for everyone? And sometimes we forget that some people's voices aren't being heard and some stories aren't being told. But I think that's a reminder to reach out to those groups and say, what can we do to help build this even better today? Because that is where we need to do some of the reconciliation work that we were just talking about in the New Testament. Is when we have those moments, and it will happen because people being people, we will argue, we will fight, and we will have things we do not like about each other, and we have to sometimes get through that. And they give us the idea of love your neighbor, but also love your enemy. This is our challenge, is to go into those meetings, try and meet with the person that's hurting you, and say, this is what's hurting me about what you're doing. Can we move forward some way? And you know what? They sometimes struggle with that because, you know, people aren't always very friendly or helpful. And I think that that is a challenge. It is something that challenges the church today, will challenge the church in the future, and is always a challenge because we always are looking to broaden who we love and care for. And in fact, you know, even in there, what did they say to do to the person who, you know, wouldn't do what you wanted? Treat them like you would a tax collector, outsider. But how did Jesus treat the tax collectors and outsiders? He ate with them. Ah, darn it. I don't get to, you know, be mean to them and like kick them out of the church and never see that face again. No, I've got to eat with that person. Geez, that's a lot of work. So, you know, just a reminder, this is just a reminder to all of us, we're called to the work of creating these communities, to try and build these communities of love and faith, to be the people that go and try and reconcile and eat with the person you don't like. Oh boy, what a hard job. But, you know, honestly, this is what we're called to do. We're called to be more inclusive, to try to live in community with everyone. And it is a challenge. And I think it's important that we tell some of these tough stories, admitting that this is hard work, and we're going to struggle with it because we are people, and there's always that person that really annoys you that you don't want to deal with. I don't know who they are, and I don't know what they do, because it depends on what your personal hang-ups as to which person is the person you don't want to hang out with. Some people want, you know, to be more messy. Some people want to be more neat, whatever. And you can get on each other's nerves. Let's just try and remember, we all have to be there together. And try to solve things directly with the person bothering you. Don't try and triangulate and go to an authority figure to try and get them to change things for you. Try to work with each other. And only if you can't seem to get any kind of resolution do you bring others into it. And mostly you should be doing that as a witness and just keep your argument between, you know, them and let the others hear so that they can start helping you through your conflict. So let's try to remember that the stories we tell and how we reconcile with others are critical. This is how we build our communities, how we make ourselves who we're going to be, and how we're going to be in the future so that hopefully this community will be here long after all of us are gone. Maybe in a new form, maybe with a new name, but some community that has the spark from this community may survive if we just be a loving community of God. So that is our goal. Let us pray. God, help us face the tough times. We know we will have times when we have conflict and problems, and when we will struggle to do what is right in reconciliation. Help us to try and have the courage to face what is wrong, to realize we need to own up to it and face down those we don't agree with, but also help us to have the wisdom to tell good stories that help bind us as a loving community, to help remind us what our goal is, so that we can try and love everyone equally. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.